When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We got a little surprise for you tonight.
It is so beautiful to see you.
I want you to want me.
Hey out there, live music lovers. Welcome to First Concert Memories number 9, the monthly sidecast from your buddies at the Ugly American Werewolf in London Rock Podcast. We have guests on to talk about the first time they saw a particular band that might have changed their lives. Because there's nothing like seeing a band live, especially for the first time. You don't know what to expect. You get there, you got the crowd, the lights go down, the amps go up, and suddenly you're transported to another world. It's great. There's nothing like it. And the great concept of the show is that we can have all sorts of people on, right? We could have our friends on. We could have fellow podcasters on. We could have rock journalists on, like Greg Renoff, who talked to us about seeing Van Halen for the first time in 1984. We could have our fellow podcasters on, like the Shout It Out Loudcast guys, who talked about seeing Kiss for the first time. We could have fans of rock on and listeners of the show. So if any of you listeners out there have an amazing first concert memory you want to share, send it to us. You might get a chance to get on the show. But artists themselves have been inspired by live music over the years, and it's inspired them to go out and become better musicians, start their own bands, get their own record contract, get there on the road, and play live. And today, we're talking to an artist who's been a good friend of our show, and that's Amanda Lehman, who's based in the UK. It's a beautiful voice and amazing guitar player. And you might know her best because she does play live with Steve Hackett quite a bit, especially within the UK. And if you have any of Steve's live albums over the last 15 years, odds are you've got one that has Amanda on it, adding her voice to some of those classic songs and certainly her guitar. And I got to see her play with Steve at the Palladium in London in 2021. She's been on our show a couple times, came on to talk about her album Innocence and Illusion. And today she's on to talk about seeing Rainbow, the Ritchie Blackmore spinoff band that he started right after he left Deep Purple, for the first time in March of 1980. When she wasn't even quite a teenager. But you can imagine being a young woman who's getting into hard rock and progressive rock, knows Ritchie Blackmore is one of the all-time greats, has the new Rainbow album Down to Earth, and wants to go see him in the neighboring town of Brighton, and then pushes her way up to the front so she could see how great he is live. It had to play a role in her becoming the musician and guitar player that she is today. So we're happy to have Amanda on and to tell us about seeing Rainbow live, because I've never seen Ritchie Blackmore live, neither has Jackson. So this will be a fun one for us to learn a little bit about the great Ritchie Blackmore. But first, of course, we have a little bit of business to take care of. As always, we like to mention we are proud members of the Pantheon Podcast Network, a family of about 100 different shows, all music related. There really is something in there for everyone. You want to check them out? Go to pantheonpodcast.com or follow at Pantheon Pods. And you've got to go to visit our sponsor, rarevinyl.com, who is based in the UK, folks, but they ship all around the world. And they curate and collect records and posters and LPs and CDs and singles and point of sale stuff from music stores. They collect it from all around the world, and they take great care to catalog it, make sure it stays in great shape, and then get it to you in that condition. Even ticket stubs from some of the biggest shows and with tour programs, you can find it at rarevinyl.com. And I know they have some Ritchie Blackmore stuff. I know they have Rainbow stuff. They have Deep Purple stuff. So go to rarevinyl.com. And then when you check out, you use code UGLY, you can save yourself 10% off your entire order. Not just one thing, but your entire order. But it's a one-time code, so don't waste it on like a 10-quid single. Okay, yeah, you save a quid. Yeah, way to go. No, go out and buy everything you've always wanted. All those rare items that are hard to find. All the picture discs. All the imports from Japan. And you know that Rainbow and Deep Purple have some serious imports out there from Japan. Go find them on rarevinyl.com. Use the code UGLY. Save yourself 10% off your entire order. Back to Amanda. She's a lovely guest. I think she was struggling a little bit with her voice on this one, but she powered through. She was a trooper. It's always great to talk to her, and we really appreciate her coming on to share her story with us today. So we're going to get to it. We're going to get to Amanda Lehman talk about seeing Rainbow in 1980 here on First Concert Memories. There she is.
Hello.
Hi, Amanda.
Hiya. Good to see you guys again.
Yeah, good to see you. While. Thank you.
How's it going?
Okay. Yeah, I'm still recovering from whooping cough.
Oh, goodness.
Which I've had since something like the 7th of January. So I will hopefully won't get any coughing fits, but there might be a or two. But it's going, but it's playing havoc with my voice, well, as you can imagine.
I'm sorry about that. But you, did you sing at Trading Boundaries in January?
Yeah, well, because I had my solo gig. So mm-hmm. I did. I wasn't sure whether I was going to be able to do that or not. So that was a bit of a worry. Mm-hmm. And I said to Michael at the venue a few days before, I said, look, I'm still kind of coughing and I really don't know if I'm going to be able to do this or not. And he said, well, you know, would you come anyway and see, you know, what you can do? And there are another couple of support acts on anyway that night.
Okay.
So I said, yeah, sure. I hate cancelling gigs, so I'm happy to come and do what I can. So I kind of remodeled the songs because it was really affecting my lungs. So I couldn't breathe properly. So I had to take lots of little tiny breaths and do like lots of stops between. It sounds really weird, but it worked quite well. I kind of slowed the songs down and did a really different interpretation of them.
Interesting.
And it just about, it did work all right, as it were. I managed to kind of just about do 45 minute set. And I was just so relieved to do something. It wasn't my voice, you know, really wasn't strong at all, but at least, you know, I could do something. But I didn't sing because the following two nights, Steve was on with the acoustic
right.
guy, and I had an attempt in rehearsal for that, but I just thought, no, it's not my gig. I can't risk, you know, just having a coughing fit in the middle of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah,
I didn't do those, which was a real shame because I, you know, was looking forward to it. But
yeah, they're fun.
There we go.
Yeah. Well, I hope you're feeling better. And you know, just last week I went down to Jacksonville to catch up with Jackson so we could see this first night of this Leg of Steve's tour.
Uh-huh.
And it's the first time he'd ever seen Steve live. And, you know, at the end, I'm like, well, any disappointments? He's like, well, the only disappointment was no Amanda. She would have liked to have heard you sing like Shadow of the Hierophant and
absolutely.
Double on Every Day and everything. But yeah, we'll get you to America one of these days.
Yeah.
Or perhaps we will see you in Europe sometime. That would be fantastic. Yep.
That would be good too. That would be lovely.
All right. Well, since you're not feeling 100%, we don't have to. This is not like the hard interview, like tell me about your music and what did you do here. This is more like a fun conversation about remembering a special time when you went to see a band that really, it doesn't have to change your life necessarily, but it affirms your life. You know, it's like, wow, I really wanted to see this band and they were fantastic. Or, you know, it was a great night in my life because I was with my friends and we were all feeling good. And sometimes it's something that happened after the show. But when we approached you, you said you'd like to do it. And you picked a band that I'm so glad that you did, because we never saw Rainbow in their heyday.
Yeah.
And I think you have to consider this as their heyday. And of course, we have these 20 incredibly well thought out, well researched questions on how to get the best answers out of you. I'm joking. They're just 20 questions we came up with in like 15 minutes. But from those, we usually get good question and answers going on. So we thought we might jump in here. If you would, Amanda, tell us just the basic, you know, the who, what, where, why, when, the first five questions, date, venue, city, artist, all that kind of stuff. And then tell us why you wanted to see Rainbow.
Okay. Well, so I went to see Rainbow at the Brighton Centre down on the south coast of England on March the 4th, I believe. Which was my mum's birthday, actually, funnily enough. I don't remember it being her birthday, but obviously it was in 1980. So obviously the Brighton Centre, it was in Brighton, as I've already said. And the tour, I believe, was the Down to Earth tour.
That's what my notes have as well, yes.
Ah, there we go. So, and I think, well, for me, I think that the reason that that in my mind is such an amazing concert, apart from the fact that it was a fantastic concert, is it's the first rock concert I ever went to.
Wow.
So, yeah. I was very young at the time. I was not quite a teenager. And
gotcha.
So for me, but I was so into all that sort of music. I was so into prog. I was so into rock, classic rock, all of that metal, you know, all of that, that whole, all of those genres. And so for me, going to see Rainbow, which was one of my favorite bands at the time, with one of my favorite guitar players at the time, was just absolutely fantastic. It really, yeah. So that sticks in my mind as the gig, I think, that because when you're that age, it's all so magical, isn't it?
Yes.
So
yeah.
Were you a Rainbow fan prior to this lineup? Like, were you a Rainbow fan with Ronnie in the band?
Yeah. I was a bit of a decade late with all my musical tastes. Most of my friends were not into that sort of stuff. A lot of it was like playing catch up with the music. So although, you know, Rainbow was current at that time and that was their current tour, I was catching up on their previous music, which I had been unaware of until I was probably about sort of 11, 12.
Okay.
It was when I just started picking up on all this incredible music, because I first heard Genesis when I was 10, and that really clicked me in to all of that kind of sound.
Okay.
And I think at the time also, if I remember rightly, there was quite a resurgence of rock going on. You know, get my copy of Melody Maker or NME with it. And in those would be lots of stuff about bands like Rainbow or Saxon or Whitesnake and all of those rock bands and I got really into that. For me, that was very cathartic, all of that sort of very rock music, because it was a difficult time for me at that age, and it gave me an outlet, and it gave me an interest, and it gave me an individual kind of something to kind of relate to, that was a very strong, very powerful influence, and I was very comfortable with that. So yeah, Rainbow, I had, you know, I just caught up with all those albums. So really, it was all of the eras, all in one go for me.
Yeah, that sounds a little bit like us, Jackson, really. I mean, we never really were super into what was going on at the time. Like, what are our peers into? Forget that. Like, it's 1990. Everyone's into grunge now. I'm like, yeah, let's get into like 70s era Stones, man. That's the stuff we want to be into, right?
I was going to say, the nice part about that is, like you said, if you catch up with a band, you have three or four albums or whatever that you can get into. You don't have just the one. So that's nice. It's like finding a treasure trove.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it? Absolutely. Yeah. It's wonderful, isn't it? Now that you, I mean, I still do it. You know, I still find a band, I think, oh, I like this music. And you turn and you, oh, there's these albums. And it's, yeah, it is like a treasure trove.
I love that. Yeah.
Ride the wind to the sun. Sail away on ships of wonder. But life's not a wheel with chains made of steel. So bless me.
All right. Well, so did you have other friends who were into this kind of music, or is this your own kind of self-discovery path that you were on?
It was sort of my own discovery path, really, though I had some old friends that were keen on that, I think. And there were a couple of friends from school, but they were a couple of years older than me. Mm-hmm. And none of my kind of friends of my year were into that sort of thing at all. So it was sort of quite a personal kind of quest, really. I'd sort of known about like the Beatles and been very into them as well. And again, okay, I really liked their later stuff. So that was kind of, that was the bit before, the journey before was the Beatles, with, you know, Let It Be and Abbey Road and the White Album and all those sort of, you know, slightly unusual kind of musical approaches. So it was quite a nice kind of journey into the waters I discovered later on.
Yes. All right. Well, good.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask, how far away was this? You said Brighton. What was the travel time on this? Like, was this a big deal, or was this like, oh, it's just 10 minutes down the road?
This was local to me.
Oh,
I
okay.
lived about 10 miles away from Brighton. So I think because I was young, it was just, I was only really allowed to go to gigs. It weren't too far away.
Sure.
It wasn't too bad.
Well, now I'd never made it down to Brighton during my time in England. What was the Brighton Center like? Is it kind of an old school theater?
No, it's like a huge, great big box.
Okay.
It's kind of got, it's got zero character.
Okay.
It's what it is. It's a great big place that bands can play, and there's plenty of space. There's plenty of room for the audience. It was the one that the Rainbow concert was a stand-up gig. Obviously, they do stand-up or sitting there, but the one I went to was stand-up, and there was just so much room in there. And I mean, I just forged my way to the front of the stage anyway, because I was like, you
Wow.
know, that kind of age where you do that sort of thing, wouldn't now? But I sort of was right up there in the front and in the middle of it all, which was brilliant for me at the time. And but yeah,
Cool.
it's a funny venue. It's just very big, so it is like a big box. And I played there with Steve Hackett and the band, you know, a couple of years back. And that's the new live album that he released is live
From
in Brighton.
Brighton.
Yeah,
Ah.
that was so strange. That was, you know, so being back in that venue, but being on the stage, and that was weird. I walked under the stage and I so just trying to kind of like put it together. I think, you know, it's just so such a different viewpoint
I was
that
going to
you've
say, this
got
is what it
from
looks
the
like from the
stage.
other way around.
Yeah, it was, and I was trying to think, oh, that'd be just so cool, you know, if I could almost just have a little kind of crack through time and just see that young person there and go,
Yeah,
hey.
could you imagine that if the younger you saw the adult you on the stage playing there, thinking,
Yeah.
I made
Yes.
it.
Yeah, you made it, and you're really old.
Yes, I hate to think what the young me would think of me now. I don't even want to think about that. Yeah, but no, that's a great story, right? Local girl makes good, goes to her first ever show, sees guitar hero Ritchie Blackmore on stage. It inspires her to become a musician, and now she's back playing classics. That's a pretty neat story. I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, it's
All
a good
right.
story, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, okay, so obviously you're like 12. You know, who did you go with and how did you get there?
I got there, well, I went with some friends and I got there on the train. So we just got the
Okay.
train,
Yeah.
which was something, you know. I mean, I was just used to getting the train to Brighton because Brighton was where stuff happened. So yeah, it was just kind of, that was kind of normal. I just remember just being mega excited about it. And I suppose it was about 20-minute walk from the station. You kind of go from the station all the way down to the seafront, so you're just constantly walking down to the sea,
Okay.
and then you just hang a right, and there you are, there it is. And so yeah, that, I think I do recall that we stopped off at a pub somewhere on the way to get a beer. Yeah,
At
it was.
12, you got a beer?
Oh no, of course not.
Wink, wink.
No,
Yeah.
no, 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 no.
Okay. That makes more sense. Now, is there like a boardwalk down there, or is it just kind of you get down to the sea and then you take a right and there it
Yeah, that's it, basically.
is?
Yeah, it's just like on the main kind of seafront road,
Okay.
opposite the sea. So yeah, it's nicely situated.
Nice. Now, was it your idea to say, okay, crew, we got to get together, go to the show? Or was somebody like, hey, I'm going to go see Rainbow? And you're like, okay, yeah, I'll come with.
I'm pretty certain it was my idea.
Nice.
I can't actually remember how I discovered it was happening now. I just really can't remember that, but I do remember I was driving it because I really wanted to go, you know, being as they were one of my favorite bands at the time, and they were playing in Brighton, and I managed to twist my mother's arm to let me go. Well, it seems you'll be with some of the older people, and they'll look after you. And but I kind of lost them when we got to the, you know, when the band started playing. I was just, whoop, I left them behind. I was out the front. They didn't see me.
Well, that's the thing back then. There's no internet, so you can look up, okay, let me see Rainbow's schedule this year. You maybe saw a poster in a record store. You maybe heard something on the radio. Yeah. Or like you said, maybe in Melody Maker, they would put out the dates there or something like that. Say, oh, Brighton, we got to get to the Brighton show. That's the only way you would know back in the day.
I know. And it made everything so much more exciting, I think. But there we go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, did you, I mean, did you buy tickets before or when you got there? Do you remember?
Before. I'm pretty sure I bought them before, or they were bought for me probably. I don't know. I had a lot of cash in those days.
Because even when we were younger, there was Ticketmaster and Ticketron, which basically kind of became the same thing. I mean, was there the same thing in England, or would you go to a record store or another music venue in your town to buy something in Brighton?
Quite sure. Maybe we actually went to the venue to order them, because I know I already had tickets.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you probably had to go to the venue and get them. I wouldn't be surprised.
It's a possibility. Yeah.
And
you said they were general admission, right? Like you just had a ticket, and then whatever happened when you got in there happened.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, you didn't sort of pick anywhere. It was just it was just a ticket.
Yeah, just to get in the door.
Right.
Yeah. Away from the sea, I can take you anywhere. Spend a vision with me. A chase with the wind. Move closer to me.
So at 12, besides going to the pub for a beer beforehand, you didn't have much of a pre-game ritual at that point, is my guess. If this is your first, this is just your first Rainbow concert. It's your first ever rock concert.
Yeah.
So we would have this ritual where we jam it in the car before we go get dinner. Then we jam it in the parking lot. We'd smoke a joint and then we go into the show. But I'm guessing that's not what you were doing at 12.
No, I think... I'm guessing, but I'm pretty sure I would have played the album a lot, or the albums a lot. I'm pretty sure I would have spent time deciding, well, what am I going to wear?
Yep.
Of course, you know, this T-shirt, that T-shirt.
That's a big deal.
But yes, on would go the denims and the badges. And I think I was just... probably just gearing myself up like that, and just getting extremely excited about it and playing the music and getting ready.
Now, did you have all the badges or pins, as we would call them, on like your denim jacket?
It was nice, because I just kept adding to that. And I don't know if I still got that jacket. I think it went sort of mildew or something.
Oh, no.
I've got pictures of it, though, you know, sort of when I used to wear it. Because I had a jacket and a kind of denim waistcoat thing that a friend of mine who was an artist did lots of sort of paintings on it. And that was lovely. And, you know, all the old studs and the patches and God knows what badges and stuff.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Like, what are some of the badges? What are the most embarrassing badges that you can remember from that jacket? One you wouldn't claim now, maybe.
Oh, God. You see, I probably obliterated that from my memory. My memory, it's all really cool. But I bet I had some real, real naff stuff on there. I think I wasn't very discerning when I was young. So it's possible I had some dodgy things. I didn't even know what they meant. Devil worship and stuff.
You're just into rock and roll. You'll take any patch. You can't just have one with one or two patches on it. You got to cover the thing.
Absolutely. Yes.
So whether you know the band or not, you know.
Yes, who's on this? It go.
Yeah. Samson, what? Yeah, sure. Yeah, put it on there. Whatever. I don't know.
Hi, this is Steve Hackett. And you're listening to The Ugly American Werewolf in London.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Got your happy price, Priceline.
All right. Well, now, did anyone open? I mean, usually they would have two or three bands back in the day. Did anybody open for Rainbow?
Well, you know, they did. And I feel really awful because I can't remember who they were. I don't know who the support band was. They're probably a band I really like or something. That was probably their first ever sort of support show. And now they're one of my favorite bands. I really don't know. I really can't remember who they were. I don't know if you guys can find it anywhere on the old internet, but I do remember there being a support band, but I don't remember who they were.
I mean, it's probably out there. There are probably people out there who know these things. There are some mega fans who know like what Richie Blackmore's had for breakfast every day for the last 50 yeah. years, you know? Oh, wait, whole week.
Found something.
Uh-oh. I found something. Catchus.
Catchus.
K-A-T-C-H-I-S.
Catchus.
And okay. I have no idea. I have none.
Nor me. I wonder if what happened to them, if they're still a thing.
Or was it even like Rainbow? Maybe somebody was from some other band, left and formed Catchus. You know, like
Catchus the Rainbow. I don't know.
Oh wow. Okay. So that's where we're going. All right. Okay. Catchus looks like a black guy. I don't know if it was rock or if it was something a little different. Oh my goodness. Okay. The Brighton Center here. I'm reading something from, it looks like a newspaper from about that time.
Okay.
East Balcony, £4, March 4th, 1980 at 8 p.m. It was a Tuesday. Brighton Center Restaurant, Magnificent Sea View, opened 2 hours prior to most performances, and neither the council or their officers accept any responsibility for any loss or damage to any property whatsoever brought on these premises.
Well, there.
That's all I've got.
Well, gosh, that's helpful.
Yeah. That sounds very English to me, though. Like, instead of saying, hey, be there, no flash photography, it's like, anything you bring and lose, it is not our fault. You know, our lawyers have said, you know.
Yes, it is rather, isn't it? Yes.
But there is no set list for Catchus, unfortunately.
Okay.
Are there other set lists for Catchus? I've never, you know, because I've never heard of them. Let's
see. No. Well, I obviously have heard of them, but I've forgotten.
Okay. Maybe they were just a semi-local band or something like that.
It's
who knows?
Yeah, I think that in those days, it was also a bit of a classic thing for big bands to put on support bands that didn't necessarily even have exactly the same sort of musical genre that they had, because they didn't want to be outshadowed by, you know, the support. So they'd probably put somebody on that had a bit of a different kind of music or vibe to them.
Yeah. When they played earlier the week before they played some with Samson, like in Manchester and Stafford, they played with Samson.
Ah.
They played Wembley Arena with Samson. They also played Wembley with the Trogs opening for them, of all people. Saxon did a gig in Wales with them. And then Catchus did about 4 or 5. And then when they came to America, they opened for Blue Oyster Cult on that tour.
Okay.
So interesting.
They had to be fairly big at the time to come all the way to America, because somebody paid for that. They weren't just a local band.
Well, Richie is a guitar god. I mean, yes, Deep Purple was his big banner, but when he left, it was still like, okay, Richie Blackmore's left Deep Purple.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people followed him and said, whoever Deep Purple are now, with, you know, the Coverdale guy and, you know, the voice of rock, Glenn. Mm-hmm. On there, and whoever their guitar player was, like, Richie's gone, there is no Deep Purple, whatever he does, they followed him in Rainbow, you know.
Yeah, and he called it, because when he broke off from them, he called it Richie Blackmore's Rainbow, didn't he? So
correct.
Yeah. Very obvious whose it was.
And he changed the lineup quite a bit, right? I mean, the first version of Rainbow, it basically was Ronnie James Dio and some of his buddies from Elf, and then he's like, okay, Ronnie's good. The rest of you guys, we kind of got to move along here. And, you know, eventually he got Cozy Powell in the band. And when you saw him, Roger Glover of the now defunct Deep Purple was in the band.
Yeah.
And Don Airey, who is still in Deep Purple to this day.
Oh, is he? Ah, right.
On keyboards there, yeah.
Because old John Lord's gone, which is really sad. Because I thought he was fantastic, John Lord. And, of course, Cozy Powell's gone as well.
Yeah, but that's a pretty big time lineup. You've got Cozy Powell and Roger Glover as the rhythm section. You got Don Airey handling the keyboards. You got Richie, but now you've got this this Graham Bonnet guy.
Yeah, I don't think he was in it very long because there's Ronnie James Dio, wasn't there? And then so Graham Bonnet was doing the vocals when I saw them.
That's right. Yeah, and then Jolynn Turner would come not long after.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so it was quite sort of a small window really when he was there. I don't know, I don't know what happened. So they did seem to swap over quite a lot, didn't they?
So was that a bit of a letdown that it wasn't Ronnie? Or were you okay? You just didn't care as long as you got to see the band.
I kind of didn't care. I mean, I think that I would have preferred to have seen Ronnie. I was aware of that, but it didn't get in the way of enjoying the show anyway. Because for me, it was about the band and Richie Blackmore. Those were the two kind of main things that really were, it was about for me.
I think that's the way Richie wants it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. It's awful. I shouldn't have said that really. That's awful. But that for me at the time was how I saw it. You're walking up with your eyes on me. It's looking good, but I just don't know. I need a girl who can keep her head all night long. You didn't come just to see the show. I guess you know what you wanna see. The way you smile lets me know I can't go wrong.
So, all right, back to, you're starting to get into this hard rock and heavy metal and prog rock and stuff like that. You get into Rainbow, you've got the new record, you probably have some of the Ronnie records as well. Did you have the Deep Purple records? Did you do Deep Purple first and then be like, you mean Richie's got a new band? Or was it just, you heard Rainbow on the radio and like, oh, let me go backwards?
Yeah, it went that way. It's actually, so it all went backwards. So yeah, so sort of Rainbow is like, I knew about Rainbow kind of at the time and a bit before, obviously, and then worked my way backwards and fell over Deep Purple. I thought, wow, oh, there's more, and it's this. Yeah, so it's a really exciting journey. Yeah, you just keep unraveling all this stuff. So yes, yeah.
Well, okay, cool. Back to our incredible questions here. Hold on. Okay, so you moved all the way up to the front. There's no seats. There's GA, but you just kind of took your 12-year-old self and weaseled between the big, hard rockers and got right up to the front.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah.
Were you on Richie's side or were you right in the middle or what did you do?
I think I was veering towards his side, but fairly just left a central sort of thing. Yeah. So it was just, I don't know. I think when you're that age, you don't have any fear. You're not anxious. You're pretty unbreakable, aren't you? Physically, you're made of rubber.
That's what I tell my daughter all the time. She's like, why don't you want to come play soccer with me, daddy? Cause like, you're made of rubber, honey. I'm going to fall apart if I kick the ball for half an hour. So, all right, that was your first show ever, so you don't have anything to compare it to previously. But how was the sound that you remember, being up there close? Just loud as hell, or?
It was loud. It wasn't, my ears were ringing afterwards, but again, I didn't care. That was all part of the experience. This is a noise. This is a gig noise. And I think that, it was loud. It was definitely loud. It was louder than anything I'd heard. Mm-hmm. But I could still hear the music. But I would probably think, oh dear, now it's much too loud, but it was, I think, I know there were a couple of other things. I think when I went to see Sabbath, I think that was almost too loud even then. And I was still pretty young when I saw them. I think I was about 13 or something.
So you would have seen them with Ronnie?
Actually, I did. It's funny. Yes, of course I did. Because I was thinking, when I first thought about Rainbow, I was visualizing Ronnie being there. But of course, no, he was with Sabbath. And I saw them not long after. I think it was the same year I saw Black Sabbath.
Okay. That might have to be another show then. That sounds like an interesting story as well.
Yeah.
So, and again, that was the Brighton, I'm pretty sure that was the Brighton Center as well. So, yes, I was on a mission by then.
Good for you. Yeah.
Yeah. But can't remember where I was now. The music. Yes, I remember enjoying listening to the music. So it obviously wasn't so loud that you couldn't actually hear anything, it wasn't all distorting and whatnot. So
good. All right, now Graham Bonnet, do you remember him vividly? Was he wearing shades and a Hawaiian shirt on stage, as was kind of his normal outfit.
Yeah, it was the Graham Bonnet look. Yeah, the shades, and yes, it wasn't kind of my look, because I liked all the hair and everything, and I was a bit disappointed. Yeah. I thought, oh, you know, he just didn't look like he fitted, but brilliant voice though. Mm. Really, really good voice.
Well, and you wonder why eventually he had to leave the band. I think that's it, Amanda. I think Richie's like, look, you know, one of these kids is not like the others. Like, you don't fit in. You sound good, yeah. But we can't bring you on stage with the short hair and a Hawaiian shirt. What are you doing, man?
Yes.
But there is something cool about that, though. He joins a band that's already established, and you would think they would get somebody who looked, because that's the MO now. You get somebody who looks exactly like the person who they replaced or Barry didn't care. I'm going to wear whatever I want. I'm going to cut my hair short, and you're going to love me anyway, because he can sing.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah. I mean, it got him fired, but good for him. Yeah, that's awesome.
Stand your ground.
Stand your ground there, Graham.
So was that, there's another question here. Was that maybe your biggest disappointment, that it was Graham and not Ronnie?
No, I don't. I just wasn't disappointed about anything, because again, you know, I don't know, we could take a leaf out of our own books, couldn't we? But really, nothing was a disappointment in those days. If it was something I liked, it was either good or it was awful. And that was good. And
Before you became jaded. I didn't like this and I didn't like that. Yeah. It was cold or hot or you were just excited to be there. I don't care if it was raining inside the building, it was still great.
Exactly. It was all fantastic. And so I wasn't picking it apart or anything. I was just like, this is brilliant. I'm just in my seventh heaven. And it didn't matter. None of it mattered. It was all good.
That's pretty common, that nobody has a biggest disappointment at their first ever show, because it's so magical, right? Yeah. And you've got the buzz of the crowd and the noise and, you know, all the lights, and you didn't know what to expect. And all of a sudden you're in the middle of it. You're like, this is amazing, you know. So it's actually pretty common that question is no disappointment, or it's, you know, it's that I didn't get to go backstage and meet them. Like, that's the biggest disappointment, Lawrence. That's unreasonable anyway, right? Yeah.
Although you do remember that, though, like, you know, you come out of the show and everybody's yelling at each other because your ears are ringing. That was great. What? Oh my God, it was so cool. Yeah, it was just the experience. Like, there was no way that it was going to be bad, because especially, you know, you had psyched yourself up. Like you said, you had the tickets early. You took the train. You went to the, you know, you picked your outfit out. Like, it was electric to go and see that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's the whole experience. Yeah. It was always going to be a winner.
All right, so what was, if you can recall, what was your favorite moment? Was there any moment like when the lights came on, or you heard that first chord, or they played your favorite song? Do you recall something like that?
I think, again, I think it was all of it, really. I mean, I guess my favorite moment in a way was the when they first came on, when those lights went on, they started playing, and I just pushed my way up to the front, and that was it, you know. And I actually do remember that. I remember that moment quite vividly. So which is a good memory to have. I think I would go with that. I mean, that they played some of my sort of tracks that I've really loved as well. Well, I mean, I enjoyed all of them, all of the tracks anyway. So it was all, I think that first, when the lights go up and they start playing, it's like, whoa.
You know, it's funny you say that, because we were talking about going to see Steve, what was that, last Friday night, and I mean, I haven't seen a million shows, but I've seen quite a few, and I still get that feeling, like, you know, you're there, okay, here's the stage set up, they play a little music, and then when you know it's time, when you see them come on the stage, you're like, okay, here we go, this is it, now the show's really going to start. You still get that electric spark. That's why you're there.
You do, don't you? Do. It's lovely. You kind of get transported somewhere else, really, and everything falls away. And that's what's so lovely about it. And that's, just the whole thing, you just totally absorbs you, doesn't it? As long as it's a band that you enjoy, or they're giving a performance you're enjoying, it does just everything else just goes out of shot, doesn't it? And it's lovely.
Yes, it's absolutely, both of you, right. I mean, every time I go to a show, yes, and I've been to hundreds now, and yeah, even when we're seeing Steve, I've seen Steve a few times. I've seen him in the front row. So it's like, is it ever going to be better than that? I'm like, well, but now I'm with like my partner in crime over here, my old roommate Jackson. He's going to see him for the first time, you know. Or when I take my daughter to see Journey, I'm like, I don't want to see Journey. You know, they're past their prime and they don't have the right lead singer and all that. But to see her eyes, like, are they going to play Any Way You Want It? You know, are they going to play this? You know,
yeah.
Yes. Although, Amanda, I didn't tell her that they had a new young lead singer in Journey. I just said, we're going to see Journey. And when they come out, she goes, he's not the lead singer of Journey. I said, well, he is now. She's like, he's a replacement. I go, yes, I know. I know. Where's the other guy? I'm like, well, that's a long story, honey. You're going to have to listen to the show to learn about that.
You probably should have warmed her up to that prior to the show.
I just figured at 9 she wouldn't notice, but goodness, she did for sure. Yeah,
she did.
Yes. All right. Well, so of those songs, and look, the set list we sent you, I don't think that's complete. I've looked at some of the other songs around that time on, or the dates around that time on setlist.com, and they do play others. I don't think it was the total list that we sent you, but do you remember your favorite song of the night?
Well, this is the thing, because I thought that they played Stargazer, which was one of my favourite Rainbow tracks.
Mm-hmm.
It's not on that list. And I thought, oh, maybe I remembered it wrong. But it did look like a very short list, didn't it?
It did, yeah. It's like, that's not a full, that's not a full set. There's no way. But that's, you know, this didn't, it's not like this site has been up since 1980 and people ran home and typed it in. You know, this has been around the last 20 years, and people's memories fog out. It's like, well, I remember they played this and this and this and this, but yeah. I don't know if they played them all. Let's see if we can get to around there.
Well, if you go to that, if you go to the Donington set on the 16th, Stargazer's on here.
Okay.
There's more tracks, so you're probably right. I doubt they only played 8 songs.
Yeah, I don't remember it being short. I mean, again, when you're younger, everything just seems long anyway. Time stretches, but I don't remember it being a very short gig or anything. So
yeah, and then like 2 nights before, they played 16th Century Greensleeves and Catch the Rainbow.
Yeah, I'm sure they played Catch the Rainbow.
Right? You know, yeah. So
yeah, I think it's just not a complete list.
I think people are trying their best to remember, and they remember some of it, but not all of it.
Yeah,
but Stargazer is a great one.
Oh, I love that track. It's brilliant. Such a absolutely good track.
All right. So have you ever seen Rainbow or Richie in any form since?
No.
Never?
Nope.
Nope. Didn't see the reformed Deep Purple in the 80s or early 90s? Or
no,
like
I didn't. And I would have liked to see them, because I thought they released some really good songs. Our Perfect Strangers album, I had that, mm-hmm. and I loved that album. Some really good music on there. I saw Ian Gillan. I saw him solo.
Okay.
I don't know when that was, probably something like, I don't know, mid 80s or something maybe.
Okay.
But I've never seen Purple, because obviously, you know, at that time when I was going to a lot of gigs, they weren't together then.
Right.
But yeah, I would have loved to have seen them later on. I guess it was sort of early 90s, wasn't it, that they reformed again, but I didn't get to see them.
And I've never seen Purple either. Actually, I had tickets to finally see them, I think at the O2 in London when I was living there. And it was one of the 12 shows I had tickets for in 2020, who by March, it's like one by one, they started rescheduling and canceling because of COVID, you know?
Yeah.
And that includes Steve, who I saw with you at the Palladium eventually, I guess that was 2021.
Yeah.
On Seconds Out, right? You would do the first set, and then they would come out and do Seconds Out. Yeah. So no, I had to see a lot of bands, some of them younger, some of them classics, and they all kind of went away because of COVID. And then I was like, all right, damn it. I'm not missing any more shows while I'm over here. But we digress. All right. So never saw Richie again. Well, so as you became a guitar player, was Richie then a hero of yours? Like, ooh, this guy's got it.
Definitely. No, I still love his guitar playing. He is one of my guitar heroes. I love his cascading style, the way he uses sort of the harmonic minor scale. And I just think he can play some real ripping stuff, but a lot of it is very beautiful,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of an interesting angle on a lot of that music. It was, you know, very, very melodic. And I love some of the instrumental stuff that he's played, like I think it's Weisheim, and that was like a B-side. And I used to play that, I think, more than the A-side of the single I used to have. Just him just playing the, you know, solo instrumental, and really, really lovely guitar playing. And certainly he's sort of been one of the influences for me over the years of learning, you know, sort of playing guitar and sort of styles and experiments with different styles. Yeah.
Well, now, do you follow him and the stuff that he does in Blackmore's Night?
Some of it, yes. I mean, I sort of dip in and out, but I was aware of that quite early on, with things like Road to Mandalay and songs mm-hmm. like that I really like. I think it's a really good sound. I like some of the tracks. I don't like all of it. It's a bit too much sort of that sort of not folky, that sort of direction.
Madrigal, medieval
kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Some of it loses me a bit, but and there's not quite enough of the Blackmore that I really like in it.
Right.
But some of it I really do like a lot. So it's
I hear those shows are kind of fun, and they've got people who really do dress up like in medieval costumes,
like the Renaissance
and festival. Renaissance and jesters and stuff like that. And
I can Candace imagine.
Is like, bring them down front. But you know, you dress up like that, yeah, come on down to the front here and be next to us. So it would probably be fun, like to see him like at Cambridge, like where they would do a Shakespearean play during the summer, to see him outside like that, I think would probably be pretty fun.
That would be. Oh yes, I would be perfectly happy to see them. That's for sure. I wouldn't not go. It's just I haven't sort of bumped into it. I mean, I don't see as many concerts these days as I used to, really. Mm-hmm. It's sort of, you know, every now and again, but not anywhere near as much as I used to.
Being a parent, being a grown up, you can't just go see every show that comes to town. We know all about that.
Yes.
Hi, this is Carl Palmer, and you're listening to The Ugly American Werewolf.
All right, so you're 12. You probably went back to the pub to get a beer before you got on the train. But after the show, I mean, any fun? Did you go home and then listen to your records more? Did you flip through the Melody Maker? Or were your parents like, okay, get to bed now, young lady. It's 11 o'clock at night.
Yes, I think it was probably, once I got home, it probably was creep in and go to bed, because I probably had school the next day. Being a Tuesday in March.
Tuesday in March, probably so.
Yeah. Yes, I certainly wouldn't have been, you have a day off school because you've been to a gig. That wasn't going to happen.
Never. Yeah, you would never get to go again if you tried that. Oh, no. I was up late last night. Nope. Yeah.
No. I think I was still buzzing the next morning while my ears were still buzzing. But I mean, I don't remember the next day, but I know the whole experience of that gig lasted for quite a long time. It wasn't just, oh, it's all over. I was just on a high from it for days. It's pretty strange.
No, that's not strange. That's the way it works, especially with your very first show. And I think someone who's musically inclined, as you were and are, it has a spark in you, something that you carried with you for a long time.
Definitely. Yeah, very much.
All right. So I think I know the answer to this, but any regrets, and would you see them again now?
Well, no regrets, obviously. I don't think I would. Actually, I can't see them exactly the same anyway.
Can't see Rainbow,
All there. But I mean, even if Rainbow did sort of reform in some way, shape or form, I don't think I would, no, because whatever they did, would never match that memory I've got of seeing them when I was that age. I just, no, I wouldn't want to. I think I would just want to leave that intact. And
yeah, it's not the same magic.
No, it wouldn't. And that, you know, like I said, that might not be them, but it wouldn't for me, because I'm sort of older and my perceptions are different now than they were then. My expectations are different, and it just wouldn't be the same, and that would be a shame. Yeah.
Now, did you get any souvenirs? Like, did you get a T-shirt or anything from the show?
No, I didn't. No, no, I didn't get anything. I guess I just didn't get given any pocket money to spend.
Probably not. Now, do you still live near Brighton, or are you in the big city now?
No, I moved away from Brighton in 1994. I moved actually to Brighton in 1985 or something. I moved out of home quite young, and I lived there for about sort of 10 years or so, and then moved up to Norfolk, which is a much quieter part of the country, and I'm still up here, really. So gotcha. Yes, I think I'd had quite enough of Brighton, really, by the time I left.
Funny how that works that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you need to move on.
Absolutely. Well, that's great. Well, I appreciate you sharing your stories with us here of seeing Richie and seeing Rainbow. Do you have anything coming up that our listeners might need to know about? Any live gigs, any songs that you're working on?
I mean, I've been doing, quite a lot of solo gigs recently, and I've got a couple coming up soon. I don't know when this show's going out, but I've got a couple coming up in a week's time. I'm playing with the Beatrix Players again. I've been sort of, it's really nice doing these like collaboration shows. So I've played like with the Beatrix Players, I played with John Hackett Band, and then I'm doing some festivals as well, and I'm with some really good bands. That's all coming up. There's the Peterborough Soundball Festival on June the 1st, June 1st and 2nd, and I'm playing on the Saturday, and there's some great bands playing that weekend, and I'm playing at the Wokingham Festival again at the end of August, again with lots of different bands on. So it's really nice to sort of meet all these musicians that you've sort of been in touch with on Facebook, but never actually met anybody. And so that's really, really nice. So I've got all of that coming up, and all details of that are on my website anyway. And I'm doing the whole of the UK tour with Steve Hackett and the band in October. So that'd be good, because I'll get to play at all the venues, because usually I dip in and out a little bit of it, depending on what I've got going on here. So this time I said, right, you know, if you let me know as well in advance as you can when the next tour is going to take place, I'll make sure that I kind of just put aside the whole of that time to come along and do all of the dates on that. So that'd be nice.
Good.
It's all busy. It's all very busy at the moment.
Oh, good. Then, so your Peterborough Festival, June 1st, that'll be on there. Everybody go to Amanda Lehman with two ns.co.uk. To check out her dates and to learn about her music and what she's got going on. And Amanda, we can't thank you enough, whooping cough and all, for coming on and sharing your first concert memories with us here.
Oh, it's been great. It's been great to chat about it and revisit all of that with you.
Well, especially since we've never seen Rainbow, never seen Richie, never seen Deep Purple. You know, that's cool. Yeah. I mean,
never been to Brighton either.
Well, it's true. I've never even been to Brighton, to the barn in Brighton. Now, do you remember, like, was there set anything special? Was it, it must have taken up the whole stage. Did it have, like, a rainbow on it, as we saw with some of the first couple tours? Or was it just kind of basic amps and riser and stuff like that?
I think there might have been a rainbow, actually. Mm-hmm. I think there quite possibly was. Whether, I mean, that could be in my memory, because I might have visualised a rainbow. But I think there probably was a rainbow. I do remember an awful lot of big speakers. And I do remember the stage looking very full. You know, they took up, they were larger than life. They took up that whole stage. They owned the stage. they were excellent.
Excellent. All right. Well, hey, you sound amazing on the new on the Circus and the Night Whale.
Thank you.
Very cool. No, we love the album, and it went down very well. I mean, we saw the first night of the tour, so we were lucky to see it. And you can hear it in our new show that's out today. It's out this morning, this afternoon for you. But we thought it was pretty great. And Steve seemed to be in very good spirits. I mean, glad that his album had gone to number one. Glad that the people liked his new material. And I think he was just glad to be back out there. He was hopping around a little bit. He was smiling at some people in the crowd. It was like, he seemed to be really in his element. It was like, it's good to see him in such good headspace. Sometimes it's like, oh God, here we go. We got another U.S. leg and we've got to go on this cruise ship and yeah, maybe I'll get seasick. It's, no, he was all psyched to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he does love it. He does love it. I think he sort of worries in advance of tours like we all do. You know, you rehearse and you're like, oh God, is, you know, what all this? And how am I going to remember it all? But once you're out there, you know, you just plunge in and you think, yeah, I know why I do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. It's all good. Anything for you, Jackson?
Thank you so much for being here. Really enjoyed the story, painting the picture there of the young person going to her first show. Kind of hopefully that the goal of this thing is to kind of, you know, engage people and then, you know, make you think, oh yeah, I remember when I went to my first show. And so to bring those memories back are pretty cool. And just, I mean, again, it had been a while since I had seen anything live, and to see Steve again in the live venue, it's just really cool. That's the way to do it. You can listen to the record a million times, but it's different seeing it live.
It is, isn't it? I think live music is just something really special. It has, and that's almost a shame with YouTube in a way, because you see a YouTube video of a gig and it's like, oh, it's not how it felt on the night. It's not how it sounded on the night, because when you're there.
Yeah. The other thing too with that is, like, you know, you're saying YouTube. Okay. So it's a camera, and the camera is focusing on one thing. And usually it's the main, whoever is playing the main part. But if you're there, you can kind of look around and see, you know, what else is going on. And so, you definitely get more of an experience.
Definitely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. You get all the peripheral, you get the atmosphere, the energy. I mean, you can't reproduce that. Okay. Right. On the live, you know, professionally done DVD, you know, live release. You can, to a certain extent, get that across, but just on, you know, sort of like a mobile phone or something like that, that's taken it. You really, really don't get that at all. That energy that you can feel from the audience and the band, and the reciprocal energy. Some shows, it's tangible. everything just gets better and better and better. And
well, as the crowd, that's your job. You got to get the band into this.
That's right. You got to give it to them so they give it back to you. Yeah,
definitely, definitely.
all right. Well, thank you kindly, Amanda.
Yes,
and hey, stay in touch. Let us know what you're up to, and you're welcome anytime.
Thank you. It's been really nice to catch up with you again. Talk about lovely old memories and rock bands.
Yeah. What we love to do. We thank good friend of the show, Amanda Lehman, for coming on and sharing her story about seeing Rainbow in 1980 in Brighton when she was a wee lass, but had already been bitten by the rock and roll bug. And that's cool. I've never seen Ritchie Blackmore, neither has Jackson. Never seen Rainbow. Never saw him in Deep Purple. Never seen Blackmore's Night. So I think it's really awesome that Amanda would come on and share that story with us. And now she's a killer guitarist in her own right, so maybe seeing a guitar god like Ritchie up close, she pushed her way all the way up to the front, was a bit of an inspiration to get her on the path to rock and roll stardom. And if you've never seen her play, hey, go to amandalehman.co.uk. See if some dates are coming up around the UK that you might be able to hit. She's talking about festivals she's going to play. She's going to be playing with Steve Hackett in the band this fall. And she adds a lot to those shows. I saw her play at the Palladium with Steve. Her vocals are amazing, and she's a wicked guitar player. She doubles every day with Steve. That's pretty amazing. It's awesome, as a matter of fact. So make sure you don't miss out on that. In fact, keep going to live music wherever you are, guys. I don't care who the band is. This is how we keep the music that we love alive. This is how we keep it all going. And Amanda is someone who's out there doing it. So support her, and support live music wherever you are. And support our sponsor, RareVinyl.com. Where you can use the code UGLY and save yourself 10% off one entire order. Not just one item, but one entire order. So maybe you get some live albums from your favorite bands, some of the best performances of all time, maybe from a show that you were at in person. They ship all over the world. Go to rarevinyl.com, use code UGLY, save yourself 10%. And thanks to Pantheon Podcast for making us part of the family.
We love doing these shows. And we think it's great because we can have other podcasters on. We can have artists on like Amanda. We can have fans on. We can have journalists on. And we're going to have all manner of those people on throughout the year. It's really starting to look like we're going to have a great year here on the show. So we appreciate you tuning into our little monthly sidecast here. We talk about how live music can change lives. So until next time, be cool and keep going to see live music. It's the only way we're going to keep rock alive.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.